We're glad you're here this morning. Are you glad to be here?
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to continue our message on the kingdom release. Apostle Leon was here last week, and he started a message on kingdom release, and that's the season that we're in. Hallelujah. So let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, for the kingdom of God. Thank you, Lord, that you are releasing your kingdom into our midst in Jesus' name. So what did Jesus say about the kingdom? He said, the kingdom of God is within you. Find it. It's right inside of you. We look all around for it. But he said in Luke 17:20-21, he says, now, when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered and said to them, the kingdom of God does not come by observation, nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. These words that Jesus gave voice to and spoke out into the atmosphere is a universal message, and it is timeless. The kingdom of God is within you. Just pat your stomach and say, the kingdom of God is in me. The kingdom of God is in me. The kingdom of God is in me. And the kingdom of God is working in me. It's working in me. We're familiar with the scripture in Ephesians 3:20 that says, now to him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. So you see, there's a power that's working in us. And what is that power? It's the kingdom of God. It is the kingdom of God. It is on the inside of us. And God wants to break through. He wants to flow through you with his power. Hallelujah. Someone say hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. That power, we're familiar with that word. It's that dunamis power. In the Greek, it means force. It's a miraculous power. We are believing in this season for miracles, for continued miracles. If God said it, we believe it. If he said it, we believe it. And that's where we stand. And I remember an old song we used to sing, I shall not be moved. And that has to be our determination. Like a tree planted by the waters in this season of trouble and trial and turmoil all around us. You know, the world is turned upside down. We are going to believe that this power that's working in us is going to work in our situation. You know, there's not a whole lot we can do about some other things that we see, but what are you going to do about your situation? You're responsible for your field. You're responsible for, we all have a sphere of authority around us that God specifically puts us in to be able to share the good news of Jesus and about the power of God and his saving grace. Thank you, Lord, for your saving grace. Thank you that you love us so much that you were willing to die for us, and that you were not willing to leave us in the condition that we were in. How many of you have been changed since you've been saved? Changed since I've been saved. Hallelujah. I'm not the person I used to be. Tell somebody, I'm not the same. Angela, would you pull up Ephesians 3:14, starting with 14? You know, when I read the verse of God's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, I was like, Lord, what was the Apostle Paul talking about? For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, and that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you may be rooted and grounded in love, and may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. When the Apostle Paul was talking about, now for this reason, you got to go back to chapter 2 to really understand what he was talking about, but the Apostle Paul was called as an apostle to the Gentiles. And the condition that the Gentiles were in was, you know, a condition of sin and depravity because they didn't have the gospel. But Paul was the one that was assigned to take it to the Gentiles. And so he is talking about the amazing transformation that took place in the Gentiles' lives because they went from poverty to riches. They went from death to life. There was a significant change in the Gentiles. And you know, the Lord dealt with the Gentiles, and that's the dispensation we're in right now. He's working on Gentiles. And so we're like in this time that's like parentheses between when God dealt with the Jews, and I believe starting in Genesis through Malachi, he's dealing with the Jews in the Old Testament. But there's the New Testament, and that's when he began to deal with the Gentiles because the Jews rejected him. And so we've been called into the kingdom for such a time as this. Somebody say amen. So we're in that period where the Lord is dealing with us. And now to him, I want to read it again. Now to him who's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to that power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all nations and all generations forever and ever. Hallelujah. So God was gracious to release the Gentiles from their sin and from the shame that was weighing them down, and that kingdom release, he released them into something else, just like he's released us into new life. And in the scripture, there are two Hebrew words for release. And release is shemitah, which means remission. Have you ever heard the word shemitah? Yeah, we've just entered a new seven-year cycle of shemitah. And then the other Hebrew word means permission of rest, quietness, and release. So there is a release if you can receive it from every entanglement of your past. Every entanglement that has tried to hold you in captivity, God has his own way of releasing you, and he will literally set you free. Do you believe he sets the captive free? Sometimes we don't even realize we were bound. Have you ever had that experience where you really didn't realize you were so bound? You know, I've come through stages. I can remember just going through a period of really not feeling emotionally and mentally up to where I should and normally did, but it's kind of like it came on me gradually, and so you just kind of accept things that come on you gradually. But when the Lord broke that off of me, I was like, wow, I think I've been depressed for the last 2 years. Have you ever experienced that? You know, these things happen to us. And so at the River of Life, you'll find out we serve a real God. And we're a group of people with real problems. And we're thankful that God can solve them. And we're open and honest with everyone because we're not perfect. We're not perfect. God is working on us. We haven't reached perfection yet. But we are allowing God to work in our hearts to change us, to transform us. And when you're real with each other, God can move. You know, if you put on this big facade and you put up these walls and you act like you're all perfect and you're condemning everyone and you're judging everyone, well, then nobody's going to change. Everybody's just going to run away from you. Hallelujah. So we want them to run to Jesus, because that's not Jesus. Jesus says there's no condemnation. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So be free of condemnation this morning. To say, Lord, I'm free of condemnation. I'm not going to let that voice talk to me. And sometimes you have to talk to yourself and say, okay, I'm not listening to this anymore. Have you ever had those voices talking to you about how stupid that was? You shouldn't have done that. You made a huge mistake. You're never going to rise above this. No one's ever going to forget this. And it just goes on and on. You have to rebuke that. Rebuke means shut up. Yeah, when Jesus rebuked Peter, he was saying, shut up, Peter. Get behind me, Satan. Do you remember that passage? Yeah, you have to get strong with that and rebuke that and allow the Lord to bring you his truth. You know, we have feelings, and there's always a belief behind those feelings, and it can be a really strong belief, but that does not mean that belief is the truth. Somebody say amen. Amen, amen. I don't know how I got off on that, but the Lord can set us free. He can cut us loose. And as you release your past to him, then you begin to receive the revelation and the understanding of who he created you to be. And you walk in that freedom. When you're walking in your purpose and your passion, you can't even explain the feeling. Is that true? When you're fulfilling your purpose, your passion, it is a feeling of joy. It is a feeling of strength. And it's like you feel like, I could do this forever. Do you ever feel like that? Like, I love doing this. You know, Tanya takes care of people. She takes care of her family and those around her. She loves doing that. You talk to her a little bit about it, and she gets really excited about it. You know, she starts sharing, I took care of this medication, and I needed to do this because they needed that, and this. And she knows about swallowing and feeding tubes and all kinds of stuff. She's just a full of information on how to take care of people. And it's amazing when you talk to her and the joy that she gets when she starts talking about caring for people. God put that in her. That's a passion. It's a passion. And so we can be free in Jesus Christ to be and do all that he has called us to do. Somebody say amen. Amen, amen. With everything that's going on in the world this morning, I just wanted to share a little bit about Israel, because people's hearts are heavy. It's kind of this thing that's waiting on us as Jews and Christians. Right now, we're in the Jews and the Christians. God sees us as the same. You know, the Jews are his favored people, and they were first, but we got grafted in, we got adopted, and so we are together. If it was not for the Jews, we would not have Jesus our Savior. And so in Psalm 121:4. The scripture says, he that keeps Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps, the Lord is thy keeper. And he said in Zechariah, when you touch Israel, you touch the apple of God's eye. In Psalm 122:6-9, it says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadels. For the sake of my family and friends, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your prosperity. And so praying for peace in Israel. So important to release the word of the Lord. This is God's heart for Israel, is that they be at peace. And so we've had a lot of people ask us, is this war the sign of the end? Well, in Matthew 24, we've read this before here, it says, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. And so that's our first instruction. If every time something goes on in Israel, we say the Lord is coming and this is the war of wars, well, then people around us begin to not really believe it. You know, there's wars everywhere. There's going to be wars until Jesus comes back, because evil is going to get worse. And so we have these wars going on. But do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. A nation rises against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. And all these are the beginning of the birth pains. And then it says, then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. And you will be hated by all nations because of me. And at this time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, and the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And then the next verse, verse 14 says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. So the war would not be a sign of the end, the final sign, but preaching the gospel to the end of the earth is what the Lord wants done. And so until that is accomplished, the Lord Jesus Christ is not going to come, no matter how many wars there are, because God has his agenda. And as we see things get worse, we just say, come, Lord Jesus, you know, get us out of here. But we know that Israel is God's timepiece. It is God's prophetic timepiece. And Derek Prince says it is the second hand on God's clock. And so this war does have components to develop into something of biblical proportions. As you hear everything that is going on and Israel getting attacked from two sides right now, you know, it was almost 50 years from the last time Israel was officially at war. And that was a Yom Kippur war back in 1973. And that is when she was attacked by Egypt and Syria and some others. But the war that's going on now is a different kind of war. Because the war that's going on now is missiles that have been fired in all directions. And thank God for the Iron Dome. Thank God for the Iron Dome. We thank the Lord that America has supported Israel. And America was one of the first ones to recognize her as a state. And so thank God for that, because that gives us mercy and grace from the Lord on America. When you love Israel and you support Israel, God is on your side. But remember, Israel's the apple of his eye. And so when you touch Israel, God will touch you. And I don't know if you've read Ezekiel 38, 37, but just to see the plague that comes on the armies that come against Israel, you can't win. You can't win when you come against Israel. You can't win. And this Hamas, these gunmen, it was different this time, because they invaded. And they had ISIS-like methods, and they kidnapped young children and women. And you're hearing of all of the babies that were decapitated, and whole families being brought together and burned in their houses, burned alive in their houses. And it is so sad that all this infiltration came from the enemy. Because the news report said they literally went home to home, door to door. And they were looking for the young, and they were looking for the elderly. Because the enemy comes after the weak. He comes after whatever is weak. He's ruthless. And hostages were taken. We're still praying for those hostages. And they said even some survivors from the Holocaust was taken and taken into captivity. And in the morning when I woke up, and Benjamin Netanyahu said, we are at war. An alarm went off on the inside of me. And I began to do just a little research on Hamas. Hamas is an Islamic resistance movement. And it's the largest and most capable militant group in the Palestinian territories. And one of the territories, two major parties. They're a terrorist group organization, and they are funded by Iran. And that's not a secret. We've heard that. But Hamas also, went to the scripture, happens to be a Hebrew word, and it means violence, among other things. So Hamas, the Hebrew word, has been around since the antediluvian times, and that's the period between the fall of Adam and Eve and the flood in Genesis. And in fact, it was one of the reasons God flooded the earth, according to Genesis. And we're going to read that passage just to get an understanding of what Hamas is. In Genesis 6, 11 to 14, it says, "Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence," Hamas. "God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, 'I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I'm surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood.'" And so because of the violence that was in the earth during Noah's time, you know, the scripture says, as it was, Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And so we see this violence and this this wickedness in the earth that goes beyond anything I've ever experienced in my lifetime reading about. It is just totally heartless. But we have to remember in Noah's time, there were giants in the land. Do you remember? If you read the Old Testament, there were giants in the land. The angels came down and mated with the daughters of men. So they had children that were part fallen angel and part human. These beings were born, they don't have a soul. They don't have a soul. They're not made in the image of God. They were not made in the way that God designed for children to be made. And they were ruthless. When you do some studies in the history about the giants and how ruthless they were cannibals. And they would ravage a land and they would kill people and destroy things. And so we see this same spirit in this Hamas group that would go in and just destroy women, children, and the elderly and just leave them. And just so cruel, so cruel. And you know, according to the Wall Street Journal, there was a spokesman from Iran. His name is Ghazi Hamid, and he told the British Broadcasting Corporation that the terrorist group had received the funding for the attack from Iran. Now, this is where it can begin to tie into end times, okay? And I'm not an expert on end times. I'm just sharing with you what I know. And Leonard is much more an expert on the book of Revelation and end times than I am. But Iran has for a long time stated that their object is to destroy Israel. And I was listening to a spokesman yesterday, and he said every time they've come to a place where they're going to have a peace agreement and Israel is going to give up some land, they pull out of it. Because they don't want a peace agreement. They want to totally destroy Israel. But not only do they want to just totally destroy Israel, they also want to totally destroy America. And one leader of Iran said this. They ask, "Is it possible for us to witness a world without America and Zionism?" But you had best know that this slogan and this goal are altogether attainable and surely can be achieved. The regime that is occupying Jerusalem must be wiped off the map. So we have to understand this is a ruthless enemy that is being demonically inspired to carry out Satan's agenda to destroy the Jews. He hates the Jews because it was through the Jews that Jesus Christ came. As Christians, we need to understand this revelation. And you know, the Bible predicted thousands of years ago that the end time events would revolve around Jerusalem. It's not America, it's not Los Angeles, you know, it's not Paris, it's not Moscow, but Jerusalem, this tiny little city. It's a tiny sliver of land, and it plays a key role in the events of the last day because that land is a covenant piece that God gave to Israel, gave to the Jews, and it belongs to them, and God is going to defend it on every side. In Zechariah 12, 3-4, God says, I will make Jerusalem like an intoxicating drink that makes the nearby nations stagger when they send their armies to besiege Jerusalem and Judah. On that day, I will make Jerusalem an immovable rock. All the nations will gather against it to try to move it, but they will only hurt themselves. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There's just a lot of things that have been going on with even the $6 billion that President Biden gave to Iran. And we've heard over and over they haven't taken any of that money yet. But we know that it is for humanitarian aid. And so then they can free up $6 billion for something else. Hallelujah. So Bible prophecy. In Bible prophecy, we just really need to pay attention and recognize that God's prophetic clock is ticking. And it really began ticking when Israel became a nation in 1948. And so you've heard of the war of Gog and Magog? Yes. And so most Bible students, prophecy teachers, believe that Magog is modern-day Russia. And I think that's probably the case. I mean, you can make a pretty good case for that when you look at the map and you see Russia right above there. And another thing that the Bible says about Magog is that one of her allies will march with her. And that ally, identified in the scripture, marching with her is Persia. And Persia is the ancient name for modern Iran. And so you see, it's all could begin to connect. I believe that Russia has signed billion-dollar deals to sell missiles to Iran. And so the Iranians have helped the Russians with providing drones and weaponized drones to use in the Ukraine war. So never before have they connected. They've not in the past. There has never been an alliance between Russia and Iran. So this just recently developed, and we need to be aware of these things. You're asking, is this the last war? I believe it's the beginning of some things. We know we can't stop it because God's plan is going to play out within the earth. But if we wake up some morning and we hear that Russia has attacked Israel, then we're going to know for sure that we need to put our seatbelt on because things are really going to start to mobilize. And it's interesting because in the scripture, in Ezekiel 38, if you read that and study that, Magog, which we think is Russia, not sure, but it says that she's going to come against her will. It's the Bible describes it like a hook in the jaw, and they're pulling her forward almost as if she's reluctantly coming along with her ally, Iran. So you see, conditions are happening that we don't know why they would connect together, but Magog is identified as reluctantly coming along with Persia. And remember, Persia is modern-day Iran. So what should Christians do? Well, Luke 21:28, Jesus said, "Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near." And that's what we need to be doing. How many times have we heard that over this last year? The Lord has said over and over again, focus on me. Keep your eyes on me. Don't look to the left and don't look to the right. And also the Bible tells us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And that's what we do. We pray that these horrific acts of terror stop against people. Deuteronomy 20:1-4. I love reading about how God fights for us. Amen. Do you like reading about that stuff? Our God's a warrior. He is a warrior. He has a whole army of hosts in the heavenlies. You can't win when you come against God. Deuteronomy 20:1-4, it says, "When you go out to battle against your enemies and see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, do not be afraid of them. For the Lord your God is with you, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. So it shall be when you are on the verge of battle that the priest shall approach and speak to the people, and he shall say to them, 'Hear, O Israel, today you are on the verge of battle with your enemies. Do not let your heart faint. Do not be afraid, and do not tremble or be terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you.'" Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You know, the scripture says no one knows the day or the hour when the Son of Man is going to come. But just a few more points before I close. I believe we do know this season. Right now, the Feast of Tabernacles began in September 29th, and it's a 7-day celebration. So we are in the season of Tabernacles. And it's the feast yet to be fulfilled by Jesus. And it's the feast of the coming of the Lord. And it's the feast that is called the rainy season. I shared that we're coming into a new 7-year Shemitah cycle. And when the Jews settled in the Holy Land, they begin to count and observe 7-year cycles. You've heard us teach on God's calendar. God has a timepiece. He's got his own way of keeping record. You can find out what it is in the Bible. But they started this 7-year cycle, and we're getting ready. We just started it, and it's going to end in 2030. Think about that. 7-year cycle, end in 2030. In Zechariah 10:1, there's two things we need to think about. The Lord said, "Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain." Now there are seasons and times, and there's appointed and set times for asking. And so we are in a particular season right now, the season of rain, for the release, the kingdom release of the latter rain, because this is a season of the Feast of Tabernacles. And the end of the age will come, and we'll go into a millennium age. So this is a season of the coming of the Lord. If he doesn't come this year, Well, then maybe he'll come next year. We don't know the day or the hour, but God is going to return. I believe Jesus will return to earth during the Feast of Tabernacles. So it's a season of the coming of the Lord, and it is a season of the release of the rain. The Feast of Tabernacles was a time of gathering, and God wants us to gather together in solemn assemblies to position ourselves and to prepare and receive him back into the earth. You see, he is physically coming one day, but God wants to show up in your situation today. Today he wants to show up. He's coming back. He's coming back. Even in this year, this is a season of the release of the rain. And everything that God has promised people in this earth, all of the promises that you've been crying out for, this is the season. Recognize the time that we are in. There is a time of asking. And this is the season of asking for God to reign in your situation. Hosea 6, 1 to 2 says, "Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us, and he will heal us. He has wounded us, and in the third day he will raise us up, and we will go on to know the Lord, for he will come to us like the rain." So before he returns, we must return. His people must return. This is a season to return to him. And when we return to him, he will heal us. He will bind up our wounds. Thank you, Jesus. And he will come like rain. And we have to begin to ask him to come like rain. Nothing will be right in the earth until he returns. There is no political power, our party, our labor party that can do what Jesus can do. And the key in Hosea 6 that reveals when the Lord will return, he says, after 2 days, he will revive us. And on the third day, he will raise us up. And once again, we're coming into that 7-year Shemitah cycle that will culminate in 2030. 2030 is exactly 2,000 years from the time that Jesus proclaimed Jubilee in Luke 4:18, calling his people back to him. And when he declared the Jubilee, he was around 30 years old. 2 Peter 3:8 says, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." So come, let us return, and on the third day, he will raise us up. Not a literal day, but a day with the Lord. And we will come to 2,000 years from the time that Jesus declared Jubilee. So there is something that's going to happen at the beginning of the next decade. And a whole lot of stuff is going to happen in between. We remember the prophets had told us June, July, and August, get before the Lord, get positioned, get ready, because trouble was coming. Trouble in the earth was coming. And we see that it has come in such a way that we never even imagined that it would come. So this is a time to prepare for his return. It's time to prepare. And the next 6 or 7 years, positioning yourself for what's coming next. Find yourself in a place of seeking and asking, and find yourself under the canopy of the refuge of God. It is the only safe place that we have. And I'm not saying the Lord's not coming before that. I'm just saying when you look at the timeline that is in the scripture and what the scripture says, and Bishop has said, it very well could be 2030 when the Lord returns. So, I follow Bishop. He's a great man of God with timelines. But Luke 4:18, I wanted to read it before we close, because this is when Jesus declared the Jubilee. He said, "And when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of the sight of the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. So as we begin to return to Him, the Lord is sounding a trumpet. He's sounding an alarm through the body of Christ to return to Him and to position ourselves as a generation to hear and receive Him back into the earth. And as we pray and ask and receive, we will position ourselves to miss the mess. Tell someone, I'm going to miss the mess that's coming. We're going to miss the mess that's coming. Thank you, Jesus. I'm counting on the Lord to carry us through and to cover us. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says the Lord, I will pour my spirit out on all flesh. Hallelujah. And when you read on in Acts chapter 2, it says that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But all they that call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that word saved there means spared. We're going to be spared by the hand of God. And as we return to the Lord and call on the Lord, He's getting us ready to release the rain on His people. We need a fresh rain of His Spirit. We need a kingdom release of the rain and the refreshing of the Spirit of God. Every day, Lord, we need a release of the refreshing rain of the Spirit of God. Lord, we are thirsty. Those who are thirsty, God is going to begin to rain on your situation. When you hunger and you thirst for righteousness, the Lord God Almighty said, you will be filled. And God is releasing a rain upon His people. It's a prophetic kingdom release that's coming to the body of Christ. And it is connected to when Jesus returns. I believe it's that close that God is releasing the anointing and the understanding of positioning ourselves for the next generation as He is returning to take His people. It's a prophetic release. It's a kingdom release. And He's raising up voices in this generation that are declaring Jesus is coming. You know, it used to be preached a lot. You know, I remember growing up in Pentecost, I lived afraid all the time that Jesus was coming. I wasn't about to do the things that they told me not to do because I was afraid Jesus would come when I was doing them and I'd miss the rapture. But not much is said anymore about the coming of the Lord. But tell your neighbor, He's coming. He's coming, and it could be sooner than what we think. You know, COVID was a wake-up call. It was a wake-up call. And it helped us to realize how the powers that be want to put the church into captivity. But we're not going into captivity. Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted and set the captive free. And you know, we have been set free and we're not going back into captivity. Praise the Lord for that. Thank you, Jesus. But whatever they have designed for us that's coming next is 10 times worse. And God wants us to be prepared. God is calling us back to Him because there is a kingdom release of glory and a kingdom release of a rain of refreshing and a kingdom release of the spirit of favor that's on its way to you. Just lift your hands and receive it this morning. Father, we thank you for the release of glory and the release of your refreshing rain, the latter rain, Father, and the spirit of favor, Lord God, that is on us, Father. We thank you that you cause us to know you, Lord. And when we know you, Lord God, we thank you that we will see you because you are coming to us in our situations like the rain upon the earth. So we ask, Lord, for the release, for the rain, and that the return of a trumpet blast that will blow in the body of Christ. Lord, let your trumpet blow and let it blow into the nations. Raise up those that will sound an alarm. There's an alarm being sounded this morning. Are you hearing it from the Spirit of the Almighty God? Raise up those who will sound the alarm, that will go to their family and begin to preach to their family, to share the good news of Jesus. Give us wisdom what to say, how to say, Lord. Hearts that have grown cold, Father, we just prophesy to those hearts, Lord God, to be softened and melted, Lord, before you, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you cause us to return to you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, let it rain.
Thank you, Jesus. Go right ahead. Thank
let
you, Jesus.
It flow from heaven. Let it rain to revive my soul.
Yes.
That I need your rain. I need your streams of refreshing.
Yes, Lord.
Every thirsty soul.
Sing it again, Jeff.
Lord, let it rain.
Thank you, Lord.
All let across it. This nation. Let it rain to revive my soul. Oh, I need your rain. We need your streams of refreshing.
I have a prayer that I would like for you to pray after me as you hear the words. I release to you the burdens that I have been carrying. Burdens that you never intended for me to carry. I cast my cares on you. All my worries. All my fears. You've told me not to be anxious about anything, but rather bring everything to you in prayer with a thankful heart. Calm my restless spirit. Quiet my anxious heart. Still my troubling thoughts with the assurance that you are in control. Let's say that again, with the assurance you are in control. I let go of my grip upon the things I've been hanging on to. And with open hands, I come to you to receive your refreshing rain. I release to your will everything I'm trying to manipulate. I release to your authority all that I'm trying to control. I release to you the timing that I've been striving to make things happen. I thank you for your promise to sustain me, to preserve me, to guard me. And I entrust to you, to your keeping, all things that are dear to me. Protect my heart and mind with your peace, the peace that passes all understanding. And Father, may your will be done in my life, in your time, and in your way, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's just pray in the Spirit. Thank you, Lord. It's good to pray in the Spirit after a message like this. Let it soak in. Let the rain come in, the refreshing of the Lord, the wisdom of the Lord.
Let it rain all across this nation. Let it rain. Let revival roll. need your rains. We need your streams of refreshing.
Lord, hallelujah.